All right, J-Ball, well, we're back in the house.
We're back.
Man, welcome to Your Mind Matters, and we're going to talk about today anxiety disorders, J-Ball. Yeah, you know, our last podcast, we talked about anxiety, the difference between anxiety and stress.
But it's time for a deeper dive.
But we need to do a deeper dive because a lot of people are dealing with anxiety. All right, J-Ball, trivia question. All right, which mental health disorder in this country, what's the number one, J-Ball?
Anxiety disorder.
Man, anxiety. Disorders, man. We brought the numbers on that joke. I mean, it just is, you know. Again, anxiety is real, overwhelmingly real. That's and so for us to walk around here like it doesn't exist, we're delusional. That makes no sense. I mean, anxiety is real. It happens.
That's right.
And so we've got to talk about it because we need people to get help for anxiety. You don't just have to walk out here with anxiety and not, you know, or be like, you know, do I have it? Like, why am I acting like, wait, why am I feeling this way? Why am I making these decisions? Like, what's going on with me? I'm falling apart. And J-Bo, I see that a lot in the clinic. People are suffering from anxiety. I'm just not talking about adults. I'm talking about children, teens. Oh my goodness, teens suffering from anxiety. You know, and so we've got to deal with this. So let's start out the gate. Let's talk about the numbers on this thing, so that we can kind of give people an idea of how real anxiety is. So go ahead. What are
anxiety
the numbers?
Anxiety disorders in general are the most common mental health concern in the United States.
That's right.
Over 40 million adults in the U.S., that's 19.1%, have an anxiety disorder.
Whoa.
Meanwhile, approximately 7% of children aged 3 to 17.
You said 3.
Experience issues with anxiety each year, and most people have developed symptoms before the age of 21.
Come on now. Come on, J-Bo.
And that's just all the anxiety.
That calls for a moment of silence right there. You're telling me a fifth of the people in this country have anxiety.
Yeah.
Man, we got to talk about this thing. So, you know, we talked about anxiety last time that it's persistent. You wake up, you can't turn your brain off. You're excessively thinking about things, you know. So let's talk a little bit about anxiety disorders. But, you know, it's a broad topic. So
Very
what we're going to do, because there are many anxiety disorders, just not a one catch all. So let's get that. Let's just be smart about this so I can make sure, Dr. Jones, you leave here and tell people that all anxiety orders are the same.
That's
all right.
They are not.
All right.
That's right.
Anxiety disorders. That's the umbrella. You feel me? And then there are other things up under it. It's no different than like diabetes. You know, you have type 1, you have type 2. You know, it's different ones. Like you just like, you just got the diabetes. Well, you know, certain things may run the same, but again, it's different. It's different anxiety disorders. But today, J-Bold,
what's today?
We're gonna talk about generalized anxiety disorders. Okay. Man, that's the huge bucket right there.
Yeah.
Okay, under the umbrella of anxiety disorders, generalized anxiety disorders. That's right. That's what we're gonna talk about today. So, J-Bold, you have some number on just that. We call it GAD. All right, for sure. So we want to say that whole name, GAD, G-A-D. All right. So
GAD affects 6.8 million adults. Adults, or 3.1% of the U.S. population. Yet, only 43.2% are receiving treatment.
You just said something there. So a whole bunch of people have anxiety.
Yes.
And less than half of the people are being treated. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that's the case, J-Ball?
Well, this report says that it's due to excessive use of social media, lack of proper sleep, genetic factors, and even environmental factors.
So a lot of things out here are making us anxious.
Yes.
Yeah. I think I told a story. I used to do home physicals on seniors. Mm-hmm. And, man, you go in their house, they got CNN blasting, I mean, through the walls. Yeah. And then they come to me talking about, I just can't, you know, the world's coming to it. Like, oh, my God, I'm not going to have my Medicare. I mean, and they going through, they are worried. And, I mean, as a result of what they're feeding their minds. So there are certain things that we can do to predispose us to feelings of anxiety.
Yes.
And it's to the point where it is a persistent state that we're in as a result of it. You know, so yeah, I mean, so you gave the numbers on anxiety. So let's, you know, let's dig a little bit into, you know, why is anxiety? I mean, have you ever been anxious, J-Bo? Let's just flesh this out. Have you ever been anxious before? How does it look? How does it feel in you? I mean, you may not have an anxiety, generalized anxiety disorder, but what has anxiety, have you ever thought about it? Have you ever like sat and been like, you know, I wonder if I have anxiety, like a disorder?
Yes, there have been times where I've been nauseous, I've been sweating a lot, and I felt edgy or really stressed about a given thing, restless, even had some upset stomach issues, some irritable bowel, diarrhea.
That's right, come on with all the things.
Just triggering and setting off, and I can remember one time, I had a diagnosis that I thought I had, and a doctor referred me to an oncologist because of some imaging.
I remember that.
And just the thought of having to go to an oncologist, I thought, okay, this is cancer.
Right.
Immediately, out the gate. No one had ever told me it was cancer. We didn't talk about cancer. It was just the thought of that this could be the end of my life. I mean, I don't know what this looks like. And I was sitting in church, and we just finished singing, and I come down. It was a high time, and I'm sitting listening to the sermon. My heart starts beating fast. I'm thinking I'm having a heart attack. Have to rush to the ER, call the ambulance, ride it in the ambulance and everything, hooked up to all of the heart monitors and the things. Then I get to the ER, and everything comes back normal.
Come on.
And that's happened to me. That's happened to other family members. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm having a heart attack. It's going to be massive, and I'm not going to make it.
J-Bo.
And that is, I mean, whereas, yes, we do know that massive heart attacks happen, and that's unfortunate.
Right.
But there are also times where you might be feeling all these physiological responses that they're really just your anxiety.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're running down the road. What do we call it last podcast? We called it the mental health disease of imagination.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Future tripping.
You're running down the road. Yeah. What if, what could, what be, oh my God. And it's not even there.
Yeah.
And as a result, your mind, your body, everything is going through a full-fledged alarm because it feels like it's actually happened when all it is imagination, because you have no facts, nothing behind it.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it can happen to anybody, J-Bo. You know how many ER visits happen as a result of people having anxiety?
Mm.
We haven't even talked about panic attacks, what they look like, PTSD. We got all that to talk about, okay? But, I mean, anxiety, okay, I'm not even going to ask you. Yeah, I'm going to be nosy on here. Okay, J-Bo, did you get that bill from the hospital, from that ER? I'm just saying today.
I mean, thankfully, what the blessing was, I didn't have cancer. But what followed were so many doctor's visits.
Yeah.
And if I hadn't have had insurance,
ooh,
I would not have made it. I would have had even more.
Never would have made it.
Never.
Never.
Literally.
Okay. Really.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, so what did you do? You know, anxiety can have you go through a whole bunch of tests.
Yeah.
Unnecessary sometimes.
Yes.
Because your brain does a job on your body, because where your mind goes, the body starts following it, okay?
And I was in intense pain and all the time. And it was persistent. And that continued to fuel the anxiousness that I was experiencing. And also just feeling like I'm not in control often.
Yes.
And being a survivor of childhood sexual abuse, that put me in this, I'm always anxious.
Absolutely.
And that is something I lived in a state for so long of thinking that something was going to happen to me. And that just, I would wake up out of my sleep. Anyone could come in the room and I would just pop up immediately. And I never really realized what the core issue and foundation of that was. And that's why I realized that, you know what, it's not just stress. It was really this persistent state of thinking in the future that something bad was going to happen that totally impacted not only relationships, but my work life, and everything was kind of tied to this overall anxiety that I was experiencing, which I didn't even think might have been, it might be GAD.
Right. Could have been generalized. It also could have been PTSD. It could, a mix, you know, because of trauma. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so we've got to kind of tease through these, you know, these diagnoses that we throw in the air, but people don't really understand. You know what I mean? But you know that you're having the feelings. You know you can't turn your brain off at night. Mm-hmm. You know you're always worrying about the next day. The next day isn't here. Yes. And then we impute this on people around us. That's because when you're excessively worrying, then what you do is you kind of channel that worry, you know, so then you all can't do this. Don't go here. Don't do there. This bad is going to happen to you. Like, what if you do this? He don't look right. She don't look like she's going to be a good friend. I mean, and all of a sudden, you know, you don't, if you don't get good grades, you're never going to go to college. You're never going to be anything. If you don't major in this, you know, I had one, you know, one person I was in a session, and they basically said, you know, my parents worried that if I didn't major in something in particular in a science, then I wasn't going to get a job. So they continued to, you know, I became, you know, you can become anxious.
That's very true.
About certain things because of what people project onto you. It's kind of like, you know, so you're worried about me when they didn't even really want to do that. That's you know what I mean? And so we take our worry. It's just not even ours, J-Bowl.
That's right.
We give it to other people. Yeah. And the next thing you know, we're causing a cycle of worry. Mm-hmm. And so then we have kids and we're wondering why they have anxiety because you just gave me the numbers on the babies. The kids you all are coming because I, you know, you all know I love child and adolescent psych. These kids are anxious. And you know what a lot of what these kids are anxious about? I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. Parents, I love you. You're amazing. Thank God for you. But it doesn't mean that that parents are mentally well. That's all right? If you're not mentally well, then it's going to be a huge chance that everybody in your family, including your kids, are going to take the hit of your lack of mental health. All right? And so what you do, all that stuff that you fear and you worry about, what do? Those kids, you start pushing it on to them.
Yeah.
And then they looking at you like, why do I have to, you know, and the weight and the pressure that you put on them because of your fear and worry and your brain not shutting down and the what ifs, then they're like, oh my God. Like, and so they're trying to manage their little lives, trying to figure out who they are and then deal with all of your excessive worry and anxiety. Man, it's rough.
That's right.
It's rough. So I guess I say all that to say that, man, it warrants us talking about it. Yes. It warrants getting help for it because anxiety will affect your life, your job, your community, everything you touch. If you have persistent anxiety, it can cause some issues. So let's go here.
Speaking of persistent,
you
know, in thinking about anxious thoughts and anxious behaviors, what that could look like is believing that worse will happen, persistent worrying, all or nothing thinking.
All or nothing. That's a distortion.
Overgeneralizing, making overall assumptions based on a single event. Your behaviors could include seeking reassurance, second-guessing yourself all the time, avoidance of fear situations or events, just as you shared.
So you isolate because you're excessive worry and thoughts and imaginations.
You could be irritable.
Come on.
And frustrated in fear of situations. And you might even have compulsive actions, like washing your hands over and over and over again.
Anxiety, absolutely. Those are, and we're going to talk about those. We've got to talk about OCD. Because if I hear another person talking about, I got OCD.
Let's not.
No, let's not. Okay. Everybody doesn't. And if you're like, you know, you had a panic attack. We're going to talk about panic attacks. Everybody ain't having panic attacks. Okay. Yeah. So we got to talk about that. All right. Yes. But let's talk about generalized. Let's bring it back. Generalized anxiety disorder. So generalized anxiety disorder is a disorder. It is a mental illness. All right. So let's just get it out here. All right. It is actually a mental illness. It's in the DSM-5. That means that's the Bible of mental health and wellness, all right? That's our Bible that we use to diagnose mental illnesses.
Yes.
So let's go into it. It's generalized anxiety disorder. There are different criteria that you have to meet for anxiety disorders, any kind of disorder, okay? There has to be criteria. It's no different than us dealing with diabetes.
Yes.
Okay. Wherein you have to have a hemoglobin A1C level. You got to have blood sugar levels of a certain thing. You know, we just can't give you a diagnosis and not have proof in the pudding. You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is that with mental illness, we have to also have criteria.
Yes.
All right. That you have to meet. So generalized anxiety disorder basically overall produces chronic, exaggerated worrying about everyday life. Bam. Mm. Right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Chronic, it's all the time, all right? Exaggerated worrying about everyday life. This worrying can cause, it can consume hours each day, okay?
So it's chronic?
It's chronic.
And it can consume hours.
Hours, okay? And you basically experience it most days, all right? Mm-hmm. And so it makes it hard to concentrate or finish tasks because you're always in a state of worry. A person with generalized anxiety disorder, like I said, I'm going to call it GAD, may become exhausted by worry and experience headaches, tension, or nausea, okay?
Yeah.
And so you start having physiological effects from the excessive worry, all right? So let's go to the book, not the Bible. We're going to go to this book, the DSM-5, because you always talking about go to the book. We're talking about the DSM-5. So I want to go over some diagnostic criteria for GAD because I think it's important, because you may be like, you know what? I think I do worry all the time.
Yeah.
My mama worries all the time. My dad is a chronic worrier.
Yeah.
And so let's talk about it. So according to the book, says that the criteria for it is that you have excessive anxiety and worry, okay, occurring more days than not for at least 6 months. Bam, right there. Okay. So that's where we got a number around this thing, J-Bowl. Yeah. It's got to be for at least 6 months.
Gotcha.
So if you talk about people, man, I think you got anxiety. Let's go back and track it. Like if it just started, if you got some crazy joke in your life and your nerves start getting bad or whatever, then, you know, let's just talk about it. You know, but the thing is that a generalized anxiety disorder is there most of the time. Okay. It affects your everyday life, what you do, how you act. Again, it affects work, school, your performance. It starts impacting every area of your life, but you got to have it for 6 months. All right. Now, number two, you must have difficulty controlling the worry. Okay. So no matter what.
So you can't turn it off.
You can't turn it off. It's like, I just can't. People come in, if they have generalized anxiety, so it's like, I just can't stop thinking about it. I can't. It's like a ruminating thought. You just can't get it out your head.
Yeah.
And that's most days. All right. You worrying about something. Okay. And so, you know, and it can be very frustrating, especially when you deal with people or have to deal with people like this in the workplace. They are all, come on. Have you ever dealt with an excessive chronic worrier in a workplace?
One show I listen to calls it the anxious overachieving.
Come on, talk about that.
So this excessive worry about achieving.
Oh my goodness.
And constantly being perfect.
Perfect.
And this whole idea of perfectionism. So much so that a former colleague was stressing about a font choice. And that particular font.
You said a font choice.
Yeah. Their particular manager was so into being a perfectionist that they chose a different font than what was in the style guide for that particular moment. And that font caused them to get written up and then lose their job eventually because there were so many write-ups over little things. Mm-hmm. And just because that person was anxious and worried about perception and things that were being seen, when at some level, no one actually cares that you chose
Roman Calibri Times or Calibri, whatever. You
over
know what
Arial.
I mean?
Ariel. I mean, some of it doesn't even look that much different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, but, you know, you have made this font, you know, a little idol. And the next thing you know, all of us have got to deal with it and bow down to it and stressing everybody out.
Yes.
And then, like you said, perfectionism. You know, the thing is that you will drive, you're talking about anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, trying to be perfect and trying to anticipate, what should I do? You know, how should I show up? Like, what should I do?
And then masking it.
Ooh.
Like, well, I'm just type A. All of us, I mean, we're all so type A here. And I just think you have to be able to work in a fast-paced, high-energy environment, and that's because all of us are type A. Well, first of all, everyone cannot
come on now. Type A is like this many people. We're going to talk about you type A's. That's we're going to have a whole show on type A's, okay?
Because that's its own thing.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the way you kind of disguise the fact that you really have anxiety, you really have issues with yourself. I'm not going to go there. We're not that show.
We're talking about anxiety.
We're going to talk about that later, but again, generalized anxiety. Generalized anxiety. So it's a few things that I want you to get from this. You must have three of these, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the anxiety and worry are associated with three or more of the following six symptoms.
Okay.
All right? So one, restlessness or feeling keyed up or on edge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are you feeling restlessness or feeling keyed up or on edge? All right? Now, being easily fatigued.
Ooh.
Okay. Difficult concentrating or mind going blank. Irritability.
Wow.
Muscle tension. Sleep disturbance. Okay. All right. Difficulty falling or staying asleep or restlessness. Unsatisfying sleep. Okay. So all you have to do is have three of those, okay? And if it's a child, you only have to have one, okay?
Wow.
One. But you have to have excessive anxiety and worry. You got to have that for at least 6 months.
6 months.
You've got to have it difficult to control worrying, mm-hmm. okay? And it has to be associated with three of the six things that I just mentioned.
Okay.
All right. Now, the anxiety or worry or physical symptoms cause clinically significant distress or impairment in social, occupational, or other important areas of function. So basically, it's got to impact your life. Okay.
Yes.
Family, relationships, job, work. It's got to impact that. Okay. Mm-hmm. And these disturbance, you know, you can't attribute it to anything else, any kind of medical conditions, because there are some medical conditions that can mimic themselves as being
like hyperthyroidism.
Absolutely. Like hyperthyroidism. That's one. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and it's not explained by any other mental health disorder. So you've ruled out any other mental health disorder.
Gotcha.
All right. So that's generalized anxiety disorder. It is excessive, okay, excessive worry, apprehension about things. You cannot shut it down. Your mind just runs to the what if. It is, again, really the disease of imagination. You're just imagining what can happen. What if, okay? And so, and that can be a very, very challenging place to be.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, you know, what do you do with someone who has generalized anxiety disorder? So let's go there, J-Bone.
You know, one of the things that I love that you would do are the breathing exercises.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just calming yourself down, you know, box breathing, okay? Mm. That's something that can be done. So look that up, box breathing. Also, you all, I want to give you a little quiz, all right? Mm. So if you think you have generalized anxiety disorder, you listen to this and you're like, Dr. Joe, I think that's me, or that's my kid, you know, or that's somebody in my family, you know, it's my boss. You may well hold up on giving them this. But what I'm saying is that there is a questionnaire, okay? It's called the GAD, G-A-D-7. Okay, you can go on Google, look it up. And what it is, it's just a questionnaire. So I want to go over that just a couple seconds real quick. All right. While you're looking up, you know, J-Bo, what we can do for it, you know, what we can do for it, anxiety. But I want to give you this GAD 7. So for example, you all, what it is, okay, you just circle in 1, 0, 1, 2, and 3. All right. But basically, the questions are, over the last 2 weeks, have you felt nervous, anxious, or on edge? Okay. Have you had problems controlling or stopping worrying? Or do you worry too much about different things? Do you have trouble relaxing? Okay. Are you so restless that it's hard to sit still? Do you become easily annoyed or irritated? Okay. Do you feel afraid all the time as if something awful might happen? All right. This is a little questionnaire we give to deal with generalized anxiety disorder. And if this is something that you've kind of felt, and so we asked it over the last 6 weeks, but we know in order to really diagnose you with generalized anxiety disorder that you must have the symptoms for at least 6 months. But this is at least some questions to say, hey, man, I'm kind of feeling like this, okay? And so that kind of leads us to, you know, diagnosing you appropriately. So if you have to go and get some therapy, if you go to your doctor and say, look, I think that I did the GAD-7, and I think I may have an anxiety disorder. That explains why I can't shut my brain off. That explains some of the things that's going on. Then definitely let's do that. Let's do that. J-Bo, can you, while I'm going over some of the things as far as what we can do for GAD, can you look up and give me again some of the other symptoms that you may be feeling that may be off the grid, that may let you know that you have an anxiety disorder? So look, cognitive behavior therapy, okay? You know, that's something that we do to retrain the brain, okay? So you help, you know, you identify the negative thoughts, okay, patterns associated with anxiety, and you try to change those, okay? Anxiety can come, your brain can start doing things like we talked about in the last podcast, you know, different signals in your brain start firing, different chemicals in your brain start being emitted. The amygdala starts sounding a siren in your brain. Why? Because, you know, that worry makes you feel like something is going to happen even though it's not even there. So it sends a physiological response, just like, a stressor is right there before you and hasn't even happened yet. So again, we got to retrain your brain. Mm-hmm. Another thing that we need to do is, with parents, if you have kids that have anxiety, all right, they need to have a environment. You need to provide, like I tell my parents, you need to be a comfy couch. All right. You need to be a place where your kids can come and discuss their feelings. When they start telling you they have anxiety, you have to be like, you don't need to be anxious. Like, don't be anxious, man. Don't throw out those one-liners on them. You know, listen to them. So another thing, you know, parent involvement. If you have a child with generalized anxiety disorder, you want to create a safe environment for them. You know, I tell parents, you want to be that comfy couch.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to be that place where your kids can come and let you know that they're anxious, and you be like, you're smart. You're the head, not the tail. You know, you throw
sticks and stones may break your bone.
Man, sticks and stones hurt. I don't care what nobody say. So again, you know, please let them in a non-judgmental, non-critical environment. Mm-hmm. Please let them discuss their feelings with you. Okay. And then, you know, helping them to learn relaxation techniques, like we talked about, deep breathing, you know, mindfulness. This is something that the family can do, you know? And so that's something we can do. Now, school. You know, we even have to go to the schools because we've got to work with teachers to create an environment at school that can help students as well, okay? And so, peer interactions, positive peer interactions, you know, making sure that we help to encourage that.
Replacing seats. You may need some bouncing balls in your class.
Come on now.
Instead of just the traditional desk seating, add a ball. Absolutely. You may even need light covers.
Come on.
Because those buzzing lights, oh my gosh. Get you some softer light covers, some lamps, some lava lamps, a couch maybe.
That's right. Where they can kind of refocus, recenter, breathe. Music therapy.
Yes.
Just things soothing, calming to help that brain, to help Amy to start to turn off and allow that cortex, the prefrontal cortex, you know, to say, you know what, you're safe, you're okay, stop worrying about the future, it's okay.
Yes.
You know, bring your mind and your brain back and turn off that signal that's causing you to sweat and heart beating fast, okay? So there are certain things that we can do, to help people to be the best version of themselves and to deal with anxiety. But I want you you were looking up, J-Bo, some of the symptoms that, you know, may be off the grid that people, you know, may have anxiety and they need to look at. So, you know, I'll throw out the first one, you know, again, sleep.
Yes, restlessness.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. They cannot sleep. The first thing they do, they're going to come to me and say, you know, ask them how many hours you're sleeping. Mm-hmm. Man, I'm only asleep 2 hours and I'm up. Then three, I was like, what's going on, man? I can't shut my brain. You hear that? I can't shut my brain down. You know, man, I'm worrying about, you know, what I got to do, all of the deliverables I have at my job, all that stuff. And so your brain is never resting. You're in a constant state of chronic stress, anxiety, because you can have stress and anxiety together. Go ahead. What else you have on there, J-Paul?
Could even be increased heart rate. Mm-hmm. I'm breathing rapidly, like hyperventilation. Sweating, trembling, feeling weak or tired, as you mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. Trouble concentrating or thinking about anything other than the present worry. Mm-hmm. Experiencing gastrointestinal problems.
Mm-hmm. Irritable bowel.
So
either you're constipated or diarrhea. Yes. You know, you see a lot of that. Go ahead.
Yes. And sometimes just sweating excessively could be it. And having a sense of impending danger, panic, or doom.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you have kids that are coming home, especially young kids, and they're like, man, my stomach hurts. My stomach just hurts. And they're calling you because their stomach hurts. You better check into anxiety. All right. You better check into bullying. You better check into some of the things.
Yes.
And so, you know, how can we engage conversations? You're an educator. Before we get off the show today, let's talk about conversations we can have with people as it pertains to how to kind of get to the root and tease out before we go to a mental health professional, anxiety, you know. So for a kid, you know, what are some of the things you see in the classroom that can indicate that a young person may be anxious? What are some of the symptoms or some of the things that you've seen in the classroom?
Similarly, they may say, you know what, I need to go to the bathroom. And sometimes you ignore it as, you know what, no, you don't need to go right now. But if you have gastrointestinal issues or irritable bowel syndrome or even diarrhea because of the anxiety, then you do need to go.
Right, you may have to go. Absolutely.
And I need to be sensitive enough to do that. Even just not dismissing any of the emotions that might be coming up or being mindful of deadlines that are being set and grades that sometimes grades can cause a lot of anxiety,
absolutely,
especially depending on what kids are experiencing at home and the stress that they're already coming into the classroom experiencing. Oftentimes we can put more pressure and add that pressure by saying, you know what, well, you didn't do so well on this particular test.
And we don't usually say it like that, J-Ball. And failed. Yeah, you failed. You know, or we do the comparison game. You know, you got this, but your brother got this.
Yes.
You're doing this, but your sister's doing that. Yeah. We do the comparison. And so a lot of the things that we're doing in homes is that we're causing anxiety.
Yes.
And we don't realize it. Look, this is not to bash parents. This is to help us to be better people, better parents, okay? You got to understand your kids. Oftentimes, parents are the facilitator. They help to breed anxiety in kids by unrealistic expectations.
Yes.
Or, you know, the fact your kid is not going to be good at everything. Okay.
No.
Your child is not going to win everything that they're in. Your child, you know, doesn't have to go to that college that you think that they need to be the level of success that you think that they should be.
Yeah.
You should not be badgering your kid and having your kid have anxiety at three trying to get into Harvard and Princeton.
Right.
They don't even want to go to college, you know. And I mean, you know what I mean? And so there are so many, things that we put on, expectations that oftentimes we put on young people that cause them and set them up for anxiety, because you know what? That brain starts going off. Amy starts signaling, I didn't accomplish this. Yeah. I got to go home. I got to get fussed at. Mm-hmm. I got to be called that I'm dumb. I'm better than this and all of those things.
We even have laws that are causing anxiety in terms of, in some states, if you're not able to read by third grade, then you're going to be held back or failed initially. And in some countries, people don't even start reading until third grade.
Come on.
So depending on where you are in the world, different demographics and different developmental stages actually impact more. And it's actually being seen as a strength. You know what? Right now, you're not at the developmental stage that you need to be in order to be effective in this given area.
Absolutely. And so we compare, and you know, the norms different. They vary, like you said, depending on country. But even if we go to the church, you know, and I want to end on this, you know, the fact is that, you know, we're going to come into the church with anxiety. It's a part of life. If you have a mental health disorder, anxiety, we don't know where it comes from. It could be a biological predisposition to it. Look, your grandmother had anxiety. Your mother had anxiety. Your father had anxiety. It could be an imbalance. It could be a brain issue, okay? Yeah. A genetic predisposition. It also could be that a lot has been going on and a lot of it may be learned, okay? Mm-hmm. Behavior, just things that happen to you, things that you've been through that set you up for anxiety. There are so many different reasons why people have anxiety. Sometimes a chemical in your brain doesn't stay around long enough. And as a result, it predisposes you to anxiety. So again, there's no shame in that. It's real. It's no different than anything else. But the goal is this. I should not have to contend with living in a perpetual state of worry, concern, you know, a life of always thinking about the what ifs, the imagination. I'm not telling you to plan to have goals. Absolutely, you do that. But when it becomes a persistent state of worry that takes over your life and also that feeds into the lives of other people, your community, your work, your job, renders you helpless, you know, isolates you because you're afraid of doing things, of things that haven't even happened yet, but you live in a constant state of what if. If that person is you, then what we need to do is get you some help. Sometimes it is meditation. Sometimes it's easy as that. But sometimes you need to know, why, how'd you even get that way? What is going on with you? Sometimes it's medications. Sometimes it's pills. Sometimes it's pills and skills, okay? Whatever it is,
could even be watching your caffeine intake.
Okay? Because that caffeine is turning you up. You drink one more Red Bull, all right? And you wonder why you're operating in anxiety. So, you know, it's also diet related too. Yes. You know, you eat a whole bag of Twizzlers, bread, dye. That may not be your thing. You know, whatever it is. You know, so you got to go back and look at you drinking 20 Mountain Dews. Okay, I'm talking to my Mountain Dew people. You know, my coffee. Give me two extra shots of espresso and wonder why you turned up. You know, but the thing is that it's real. May be wired up. But I'm, you know, we being funny, but you know, you may be wired up, but it should not put your brain in a perpetual state of the what ifs, the what next, lasting 6 months or more, all right? So if that person is you, man, get some help, all right? Get some help. You don't have to do it yourself. We can help you. We can help reroute that brain so that you don't operate in a perpetual state of worry. Yeah. J-Bo, you got anything else for us? Any closing comments? We good?
I think we're good.
All right, I like it, all right? GAD matters, man. You know, it's real. And so get the help that you need, all right? So we'll see you on the next podcast. Your Mind Matters with Dr. Jewel. Peace, y'all.